Our first scripture reading comes from Psalm 150. Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty firmament, praise him for his mighty deeds, praise him according to his surpassing greatness, praise him with trumpet sound, praise him with lute and harp, praise him with tambourine and dance, praise him with strings and pipe, praise him with clanging cymbals, praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Our gospel reading comes from Matthew chapter 28. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing was white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised." And he said, "Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you.'" So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and sisters to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
I was on the Woodlands, Texas, junior high football team when I was in seventh grade. But I need to be more clear. I was on the Woodlands, Texas, junior high C football team. So yes, there was an A and a B team, and I don't want to brag because there was also a D team, which we were obviously better than. And so me and my buddy Creech, his name's John, last name's Creech, everyone called him Creech, went out for the team. We made it. We were put on the C team, and both Creech and I were on the O-line. And I was a guard, Creech was a tackle, and every year there was this annual scrimmage where the A team would play all the other teams. Basically, the B, C, and D teams just existed to boost the confidence of the A team, but also to acclimate us to losing, which was really helpful for us. So Creech was terrified of this scrimmage. And he talked about it like for months leading up to it constantly. He was like, "They're going to destroy us." He'd be like in the locker room and out of nowhere would be like, "They're going to destroy us. I don't think you guys understand." And we're like, "Dude, relax. Like, you never know what could happen. It could be like a David and Goliath situation." And he's like, "Nope, absolutely not. They are going to completely destroy us. And it worries me that you guys aren't more afraid about this." I mean, he was constantly talking to us about this. So the day comes, game time comes, and Creech is like even more ramped up and off kilter than he has been. And we get on the O-line and we're about to, like, the quarterback is calling the play and Creech is like, "I think we're going to die." He's like talking to us on the O-line and we're like, I'm like, "Dude, keep it together. We're not going to die." And then the D-line is like, from the A-team is like, "No, you're going to die. We're going to kill you guys." And I'm like, "Well, that's weird. We shouldn't be having this conversation right now." And then the quarterback is calling the play. And as he's calling for the play, Creech just gives in fully to fear. And it's just, I just remember him saying, "Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God." Like leading up to the play, the quarterback says, "Hut," the center snaps the ball, and the D-line just mows us down. And all I remember was laying on my back, just watching the football explode into the air as our quarterback got sacked. And it happened only instantly. And I thought to myself, Creech was right. We should have been more afraid. We had real reason to be afraid. The Easter story begins in fear. It begins with the Marys coming to the tomb with very good reason to be afraid. They have been with Jesus. Friday is still fresh for them. They watched Jesus get crucified. They watched him get carried to the tomb, and they stayed with him till the bitter end. And they're coming to the tomb not to celebrate, but to prepare Jesus' body, to grieve, to hold vigil. And beneath the fatal sounds of Friday and the silence of Holy Saturday is this fear for these two women. Fear that death has won. Fear that their hope has been misplaced. Fear that the future they imagined with Jesus is gone. Fear that they were on the A team, but really they're actually on the C team and they've lost. When they arrive to the tomb, we're told that the earth trembles. The ground shakes as this angel descends from heaven who has lightning blazing from his face. And the stone is rolled away, not to let Jesus out, but to let the Marys in, to see that the tomb is empty. And there's these guards that are there, that are paralyzed with fear. We're told that they froze and became like dead men as they're terrified, held in this moment. And the first words of this story are spoken. The first words of the last chapter of Matthew's gospel, the first words that we hear on Easter morning, do not be afraid. If you leave here with anything this morning, leave here holding on to those words. Don't remember Creech. Don't remember the lovely coffee bar. Don't remember that we had AV issues. Remember the first words of Easter. Do not be afraid. And we all know that fear. We all know what it means to be afraid. You turn on the news, it's like roulette. Pick any of the stories, and you probably have a good, valid reason to be afraid, right? The war, the government, the economy. It's all legitimate. Maybe this morning you're fearing for your family, their health, their well-being. Maybe you're afraid of losing someone. Maybe your family is going through something and you're not really sure how it's going to pan out. Maybe you were afraid to come to church this morning. Maybe you were dragged to church this morning because you hadn't been in a while. Maybe you were afraid something weird was going to happen this morning. I just start handling snakes. Bought a Honda, should have bought a Hyundai. Maybe you wrote that joke and you were afraid it wasn't going to land. Maybe you're Andy and 5 minutes before the service, you have no screen and audio and you run down here and Andy ran down here. He took a panel off the wall with the screwdriver. I was like, hey Andy, how's your morning going? And he's like, I got a wild idea. And he fixed it. He like miraculously fixed it. But like the fear, you could feel the fear from the tech booth this morning. It was palatable. We're all afraid of something. Ernest Hemingway famously wrote that the world breaks everyone. And we are no exception. Like the Marys, we all carry brokenness. We all carry grief. We all carry shame and regret and fear. Life can feel like the C team scrimmage with the A team, and you're not on the A team. And it's into this fear. It's into this brokenness. It's into this messiness that the angel speaks. Do not be afraid. It's the same words the angel Gabriel spoke to that other Mary, Mary, Mother of God, before he was born, when she was pregnant with him. Do not be afraid, for God has found favor with you. And it's the same words that God speaks after he dies. Do not be afraid, for he has been raised. And it's not said to suppress emotion. It's not a denial of reality. The Marys saw the reality of God dying. They were with him and witnessed it, stayed with him till the end. It is said as an invitation into a new reality. Do not be afraid because death is not in charge. Do not be afraid because the worst thing is not the last thing. Do not be afraid because God is doing something new. We're told that the women take off running to tell the other disciples. Matthew tells us that they left quickly with fear and great joy. And I love that. Even after told, do not be afraid, they leave with fear and great joy. Resurrection doesn't erase fear, by pretending it's not there. Resurrection meets us in the middle of it, on the way where fear and joy are tangled together. And then Jesus meets them on the road. That's the good news of Easter. Jesus doesn't meet them at the tomb. He doesn't meet them after they've processed it and have it all figured out. Jesus meets them on the way, in the middle of it all, which is where many of us live. Between confusion and celebration, between grief and hope, between fear and great joy, Jesus meets us in the middle of the chaos and the messiness of both of those things. And what does Jesus say on Easter morning? Do not be afraid. He runs it back. And I love how the Marys respond in this moment. They don't say anything to Jesus. They came in. Matthew tells us they came in. They took hold of his feet. And they worshiped him. I watched an interview a couple of weeks ago. I've actually been kind of watching it on repeat. It's with one of my favorite actors. He's an incredible actor, but he's very controversial because he's had a very colorful past and personal life. He's hurt a lot of people, a lot of legitimate hurt, been to jail multiple times, battling addiction. You watch him in this interview and you're like, I think this guy's high right now. So still like working out through things. His life is a complete and total mess. But in the midst of this very public and broken life, he has found Jesus. According to him, he's become a Christian. And he's doing this interview and he's talking incessantly. He's like out of his mind during this interview. And then he starts talking about his faith. And the interviewer asks him, what would you do? What would you say to Jesus if you could meet him? And the actor gets quiet and he says, I wouldn't say nothing. And the interviewer is like, really? You wouldn't say anything? And this actor starts to cry and he says, no, but I'd kiss him. I'd kiss his feet. I wouldn't say nothing. What other answer is there? In response to seeing the resurrected Jesus, when everything you thought that was true about life and death and life is inverted, is reversed, is turned upside down, who else could turn gardens into graves or fear into great joy? Who else could say, do not be afraid, and say it with such authority that the truth of it cuts through the world's noise? You're on a plane, there's turbulence, the pilot gets on the horn, it's like, we got a little bit of turbulence, but there's nothing to be afraid of. And you're like, well, now I'm afraid. Why is he saying, don't be afraid? Now I'm afraid, right? But when God says it, only God has the authority to say it and for it to really mean anything. And then Jesus says one final thing, do not be afraid, go. And tell my brothers and sisters to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Tell my brothers and sisters, he says. The angel says, go and tell the disciples. But Jesus says, go and tell my brothers and sisters. These are the people who betrayed him. These are the people who deserted him in his time of need. They bailed on him because they were afraid. Jesus has every right to say, go and tell those cowards that I'm coming for them, right? But instead, he doesn't even say disciples. He says, my brothers and my sisters. It's as if Jesus is saying, those people who scattered on me, I'm pulling them back together. And we're going back to the place where it all started. The brokenhearted cowards who were too afraid to stick with me, those are my people. That's my church. Those are my brothers and my sisters. And that's what we're invited into as the family of Christ. Whatever tomb you're walking in this morning, whatever fear, whatever grief, whatever anxiety you're carrying, the stone has been rolled away because Jesus is alive And if Jesus is alive, then fear doesn't get to define our future. Fear doesn't get to tell our story. Fear doesn't get the final word. Now, Easter doesn't say, don't feel afraid. I want to be very clear. But Easter does say that we don't have to live afraid. And even when we fail, even when we are truly cowards, right? Even when fear takes over and we're shouting, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, when we should be quiet listening to the quarterback, Jesus still calls us brothers and sisters. Jesus doesn't call us cowards. You know how much love and forgiveness and grace is wrapped up in that? He calls us brothers and sisters. He loves us like death in reverse. Amen.